sitting in for Juke today, a little bit under the weather, and we have Arlen Meekoff in the studios with us today. Good morning.
Good morning, Diane and listeners. Juke, if you're listening, I hope you feel better soon.
He will. He always does. All right, sir, so what do we have to talk about this morning?
Well, we had a big political weekend, and both the Democrats and the Republicans had their conventions. Republicans met in Novi and nominated several members, including Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, renominated him. And, of course, the regents for Michigan, Michigan State, and a few others as well. Many people don't bother to look at or even know about the people that are running for regent, but they're important people because they help. They sit on the boards of our universities to help maintain the autonomy that that they have with the state, because once we give universities money, they pretty much can do with it what they want. So we need to vote from very common sense people on those boards so that they're doing a very good job for the students and for the university. So they're important.
Where I have a question. Where would somebody get more information about the regents and positions like that that people are running for? Where would you get more information so you make a good choice?
Yeah, I didn't bring anything with me to tell you exactly where it would be, but if you look on an MLive story or something and find who the regents are, most of them have websites and other
right.
things that they have. Ron Weiser, Melanie Foster, a number of these folks that I do know. But I encourage people to read up on them because it is important when you vote. You got to find the judges, you got to do that, and the regents and things like that. I wanted to briefly talk about Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly.
Okay.
He and I both were elected to the House at the same time and came in 2007. He's one of them really, really smart guys, too. He's just like the governor. Just a very down-to-earth, regular guy, regular family. He's got one child with autism, and he's just like all of us. Okay, and he presides over the Senate. That's his basic job. Presides over the Senate when it's in session, and then he also does a lot of policy work on the governor's behalf. Now, interesting at the convention as folks became delegates and went to their county convention and did a number of things to be eligible to go to the state convention and vote on these people. Brian won by nearly 2-1. Lieutenant Governor won by nearly 2-1, which means that the grassroots people that really are engaged in that politics really believe that the governor should pick his own running mate.
Okay, good.
And they said they wanted Brian to be the running mate. So now we're very much unified, and I do have to give the hats off to the challenger, Mr. Nakagiri, who gave a very good concession and said, let's cast a unanimous ballot and now move forward in unity. I have to tip my hat to him.
That's a good way to go.
Mr. Nakagiri has some decent ideas. He just didn't have any kind of support, and I believe that the folks that are paying attention to this and those who want to pay attention to it know the governor's been doing some really terrific things with the legislature. And I'd just like to highlight a few of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think what most people don't remember is about 5 years ago, the state was broke. We had about enough money in our checking account. If the state would have had stopped, we could run the state for about a half an hour.
Now
we have put almost $600 million on our rainy day fund. So the economy has turned some. We've prioritized our spending, and we've put some away and saved some. We've ended retirement health care benefits for legislators like myself. We've also asked public employees to cover 20% of their health care costs. That wasn't true prior to that. Here's one that most people from the West Side struggle with. We believe in the part of Detroit that's going to come back.
Yeah, hopefully it will.
Hopefully it will, and the efforts that we've made to put $200 million there to shore up the pensions, so we didn't give it to their government, the city government, we shored up the pensions because if those would have gone into bankruptcy, most of those people would have been below the poverty line. It would have cost us a lot more per year because they would have qualified for welfare, Medicaid, and all those other types of
food
things.
Stamps,
so it was
and
a
other stuff.
Preventative type of thing. Now, again, I've said on this program, Mayor Duggan, I've met him a few times, and he's got some people around him I think are really good at what they're about to do. But if you give somebody the confidence and give them a clean balance sheet, and help them, or at least say, we're going to have oversight over you for about 20 years. So if you don't do something that's financially right, we still have that oversight for 20 years, just like the city of New York when they came out of bankruptcy. Recently, the mayor that's in there now was going to change some way of the accounting, go away from generally accepted accounting standards, and that board, the financial oversight board, started to become active and say,
you're not going to
do that. So we have some pretty stringent oversight over it as well. And it just is amazing to me how much capital, how much free market capital is circling around Detroit just ready to go in. The stuff that's already started between the Penske's and the Illich's and the folks that are investing there.
Housing in that, a lot of, I've heard about that, investing in
the
that.
The downtown area is really along Woodward. A number of those buildings that Dan Gilbert has purchased and refurbished, it's like 98% occupancy. It's like a waiting list to live in downtown Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is different.
That's something that's new. And that's something that's new. And it's encouraging to me because that means people who have money to invest believe they're going to get a return on that investment.
Right. Yeah.
So
Don't throw your money away.
They see an opportunity.
Yeah.
So those are a number of things that we believe Detroit is going to do better. And I will just say this way to West Michigan folks. If it was one of our towns that did something wrong, immoral, illegal, I mean,
just
you would
plain
want
dumb.
you would want another part of Michigan to help you as well.
That's
so they are part of Michigan, and I want people to go around the world, around the United States, and when they're asked, where are you from, and then when they say Michigan, I want the next question to be, how's Detroit doing? Isn't it doing much better?
Yeah.
I want them to get that question instead of, ooh, are you from Detroit?
Yeah, like it's a bad thing.
So it's a bad thing. So I'm hoping that we are able to do that, change that culture, that mindset, the perception of what Detroit is, and hopefully it's that great city that we once knew it as.
All right, and then what else do we have here? Well, we've talked about the convention, Detroit. Oh, I know, roads.
Roads, oh, yeah.
I got you. Look forward to getting back in session so you can get to work on that.
Yeah, I think it's also important for folks to know that the budget that we funded at starting October has all the projects that were ready to go. That those projects are funded. So it's not like we're short money to fund those projects.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have is a deficit going forward. We have about $1 billion more a year we need to spend
on roads.
On roads.
Yeah.
And that, I think that should start with, and I believe it will start with, how we warranty those construction projects, how do we bid those construction projects, and we're working on a series of bills that have those ideals in mind. Because I really don't want to spend more taxpayer dollars until I can show the taxpayers the value for the money they're already sending. So now the whole formula thing and how money is collected on gas tax and sales tax and all that, I've described quite a bit on this program. But suffice to say, I hope to find a way that we can, that when you go to the pump and you pay the gas tax, the sales tax,
right,
whatever tax it is on gas, the user fee, that all of that money will go to roads.
That would be good.
Because right now, when the sales tax is on top of the per gallon tax, very little of that money actually, the sales tax.
Because of percentages, right? Yeah.
Very little of it goes there. It goes to schools and local government. So if citizens really want all the tax money to be spent on roads, we've got to find a different formula that works to do that. So therein lies the fairness question. I mean, is gas the right way to do it? Is it registration fees?
Yeah.
Is it? There's vehicles now that are using compressed natural gas, some that are on routes like FedEx, UPS. They're using that, and there's no road tax
on
compressed natural
gas.
So there's a whole series of fairness things. You got battery-operated cars, so they're not buying any gas. How is that fair if they get to use the roads and aren't paying
any
gas?
Yeah, because they usually get other, like, breaks, too, because of the ecology issues.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's green. They're saving energy and stuff. So, yeah, they're getting breaks for that, and then they get breaks because they don't have to pay for gas.
So there's a whole underlying fairness thing, and if we got to find a way to do this the right way.
All right. You want to take a caller?
Let's take a call.
All right. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I have a question. I'll hang up. If you can answer, that'd be great.
But, you're breaking up real bad.
How's that?
That's better. Go ahead.
Okay. Last question. I'll hang up and listen and hopefully you can answer. But when Obama bailed out GM, how did that money not help Detroit? And why are we at this point where we're at now? Can you explain that? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Most of the GM facilities in terms of production are not necessarily in Detroit. In fact, there's a lot
all over the state and all over the country.
And all over the country. So when they bailed out Detroit, it was the corporation. And did it help some of Detroit? Sure. But, I mean, they had gone through about 30 years of graft and corruption and then uncovering that and stopping that with the former mayor and then putting them in a better place is where we need to go. You know, not trying to cast blame on that, but
yeah.
That was a big problem. And I think encouraging to me is that the voters of Detroit voted mm-hmm. for a guy on a write-in ballot for mayor.
Wow. I wasn't aware of that.
That's how much they want to change. So I believe that notwithstanding what the federal government did for GM and the corporate structure,
mm-hmm.
It may have helped Detroit a little bit, and I can't even tell you how much or how little. But they were upside down. Detroit was so upside down that if they would have gone bankrupt in a traditional way,
mm-hmm.
all the money that they had borrowed to build sewer and water and those types of things, they used the credit of the state of Michigan to borrow.
Oh, right, because they couldn't borrow on their own.
Because they couldn't borrow on their own. So we would have had to pay those bonds, and we would have had to pay them up front. So we're talking about $3 billion versus the $200 million that we invested. So
okay.
I didn't answer his question directly, but I can't really answer it directly because I don't know how it would have redounded to the city unless some of the factories were right in Detroit. But sales tax on cars has been mm-hmm. up. I didn't bring that with me, but I did see from the report of last month it's been up, trending up 3 months in a row. So the sales tax helps the state budget, which helps us, everybody.
Oh, that means people are buying more cars if the
people
sales
are
tax
buying
amount
more cars.
Is going up. Okay.
Yeah. They're up to about 17-18% of the market share now when they were down to 11. So that they are building more cars. They are selling more by volume as well.
All right. Let's see what this person has to say. Hello there. You're on the air on the Talk of the Town.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I called once before, and I never really did get an answer, but my question is, with regards to the price tags on groceries, when a lot of people go to the grocery, I mean, I've been in line at the grocery store and I've had people had to put stuff back because they don't have any idea what things cost, and the shelf tags are not always legible where you can read them and know what items for what. And I wondered if there's ever going to be any proposed changes to put the price tags back on groceries. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the item pricing law. That was one of the first things that we repealed. Michigan and Massachusetts were the only ones that had it. It was a significant drain on business. We also raised penalties on the other side if somebody doesn't mark or isn't pricing it right.
Right, the tag on the shelf or
right.
whatever. Yeah.
But that takes a little bit of knowledge. I would just say for the most of the consumers,
mm-hmm.
it's been a very positive. And I think this is probably this and maybe one or two emails I've gotten in my office is the only folks that have actually said they didn't like it. I think that's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Or will there be a change to it? I can say at this point there won't be a change.
No. Sales tax is not charged on food products itself. It's just on everything else you get.
Right.
At the
he's just talking
store.
About make sure that the price they know the price when they're picking up a can of soup or whatever it is they're picking up.
Right.
And no, there won't be a change in that.
Well, most times they will honor the price that you had, you saw the price at whatever, and they'll honor that price rather than what the cash register charged.
Yeah, certainly. They're retailers. They're not going to make a big deal over a couple of pennies or dimes or whatever. But if it's grossly mismarked or if it rings up incorrectly, there's a way to go after them through the Attorney General.
Okay. Good morning. You're on Talk of the Town.
Yeah, we need Juke back.
Well, we do. He'll be back. Well, whatever. Okay, that's fine. I think I'm doing a fine job.
You're
Duke will
fine.
Be back, though. He's a little bit under the weather. Hopefully he'll be back before the end of the week. That's what I'm hoping for anyways. Again, it's a little early for me to be in here.
Well, maybe we should just accuse him of playing hooky because we finally got summer now. Maybe he's out golfing or something like that.
Golfing? It's a little humid for that. Might meld out there today. But any other things that we should discuss?
Well, I think we also need to talk about school funding just a little bit, because school's going to be starting here in the next week or so.
Very
in fact,
shortly.
Tonight, I think, the practice bus runs go out from Zeeland and a couple of the schools.
Oh, really? Okay.
I know my granddaughter is getting on the bus for the first time, and her practice run is a kindergartner.
Okay.
So I'm aware of that. So just a cautionary for folks that are out on the roads tonight, make sure you're watching for school buses. I know you haven't seen them for a number of weeks, so make sure you're paying attention to kids standing out by the bus stop.
And getting used to the red lights, the flashing red lights.
Yep.
You're supposed to stop and the stop sign and all that. Good morning. You're on Talk of the Town.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I agree with this gentleman that called about the pricing of food in the markets. It is so hard to read those little tags. And then they're not always by or directly in front of the item that they're representing. And then if they're on the bottom two shelves,
you can't see the price now.
You can't even see it. You have to get down on your hands and knees to look at it. And even the ones that are up, you wish you could take them right off the shelf and hold it so you can see it.
I understand.
It is just ridiculous. It should go back to pricing on the item.
I know, but the pricing on the item is oftentimes very little tiny anyway. So
But you can at least you can pick the item up and look at it.
Well, that's true. One thing I think, when you get to the cash register, ask them to check the price on it before you start to pay for it.
I'm not so worried about that. Yeah. I would just like to know what it costs when I'm looking at the item, so I can compare Meyer's brand to Smucker's or whatever.
Right.
It is.
Okay.
Anyways,
yeah, I know not all the retailers do it, but a lot of the larger ones
have the
places where you can put the barcode under there and read the price. Not all of them do that.
Yeah.
I realize that. So it does.
No, it's.
And change is difficult for people. And I think that, again, if a retailer is trying to take advantage of you, you're going to know it.
Right.
And that's not their point. Their point is to sell you goods and services so that you come back. So they're, I believe that for the most part, they're not going to be trying to take advantage of you, although you're going to have to put a little effort in at some point if you want to notice some of the prices.
Right.
And I hope that, at least in this area, I've seen a number of the retailers have those price check things in a couple aisles.
Right, yeah, in the aisle, right, up on a column. Okay, back to school funding.
Yeah, I think one of the misnomers is that this governor and the budgets that we've put forward has cut school funding, and that would be the furthest from the truth. Ever since the governor has been the governor, he's increased school funding. There was a decrease in funding when the federal ERA funds went away under Governor Granholm. In fact, we had cut... we had cut some school funding under the Granholm administration several times. But I think what everybody, I think, really escapes, what it does escape them, is when they're looking at, well, we don't have enough money. More than 45 cents of every state tax dollar collected. Okay? Just get that in your head.
Yeah.
So for a dollar, every 45 cents goes to our public schools, community colleges, and universities. 45 cents of every dollar. Mm-hmm. That's pretty significant.
Okay, let's take another caller. Hello there, you're on Talk of the Town.
The tax on the retirees, will that ever go away? You know, the governor taxed retirees' pensions here.
No, that's not true.
And you know, a lot of retirees, if they go to Florida, say you want to push us to Florida, you want to push us old people to Florida, we automatically get a 9% increase simply by going there and not having to pay the tax on the pension. Well, there's multiple other states that don't tax the pension the way this administration has.
Yeah, well, when you say the governor's tax everybody's retirement, that's not true. Okay, everybody who has a 401k already gets taxed when they take their money out.
Well, and not everyone has a 401k.
Yeah, most people have a 401k because pensions aren't affordable.
No, that's not true.
It is true. I have those stats here.
There are a number of folks that the way
the governor proposed it, he wanted to put a tax on the pensions at a rate that was way out of control. And we said, look, this is a fairness issue. If a retiree has a 401k and if the retiree has a pension, they are obligated, I believe, to help support our society at the same rate. And why is it fair for one to be taxed and the other not to be taxed? So you either have to go to both of them not taxed or both of them taxed. I think that's what you have to do.
I think you said a very important word there, and that's if. And I think many, many of the Republican think tanks have put out that many, many retirees have nothing in savings simply because of the high cost of automobile insurance and the higher cost of health care and the higher cost of food. And so many Americans do not have, especially Michigan people, do not have those thick 401ks like public employees do.
Yeah, the pensions are not taxed. If you're an individual, none of it is taxed up to $20,000. If you're a couple, none of it is taxed up to $40,000.
Yeah, those are good stipulations that you put on that. Now, the other thing is that on the a couple of people have called about the pricing issue. You seem to be on top of the facts pretty well. How many jobs did that create by eliminating that burden? I think you call it a burden on business. How many jobs were created by not pricing these individual items? And my other part to it, and I'll hang up and listen, and thank you very much for taking my call. how many jobs were created? And the other part of that is that, what, you know, when you say, well, you can go after them for the attorney general, most of us, you know, we get nickeled and dimed if we're overcharged on those scanners. We get home, and then we start going through our receipt, and shame on us, I guess, for not being more aware, you know, spenders at the market. But a lot of us don't do that till we get home, and we notice that 15 cents here, 10 cents here, 3 cents there, and you say, well, you can go to the attorney general. Isn't that kind of a complicated procedure for a retiree to sit down and have to go through for that small amount? And how much is business making off of that for those of us that just simply don't know how or have the wherewithal to go after them to the attorney general? And I'll hang up and listen. And once again, I appreciate you coming on the air. It's very nice of you.
Right. Thanks. Well, the first part of how many jobs did it create, I can't say that it created jobs. What I can say is it avoided cost for the retailer to have to price every single deodorant thing on the shelf, every single toothbrush on the shelf, every single can of pop on the shelf, or anything like that. So it's more a cost avoidance. I can't say that they hired more people. It just helped them with the flow of their materials through their buildings to sell to you. Now, your complaint about or the issue about if you get if you've not been priced fairly, that there's a way to do it at the store too. I just don't remember what that is. But if it's egregious or if it's found to be multiple times, the attorney general does get involved with that retailer. And there has been fines and there have been different things that have been done to retailers that either willfully or accidentally did not price things correctly. So is it cumbersome? Yeah, it might be, but it is freeing to the retailer to help give you more goods and services and sell them to you and hopefully lowering his costs so he can stay in business and employ our kids and our grandkids.
All right. I know you have to leave soon, but do you have time for one more phone call?
Sure do.
All right. We'll take one more caller here. Good morning. You're on the Trading Post, or Trading Post. That's where I'm usually at. No, you're on Talk of the Town. Hi.
Good morning. Just one concern or comment. I really feel the fact that schools have to start after Labor Day kind of indicates that Michigan kind of puts more emphasis on tourism than we do education. You know, I have family in Indiana. They've been in school since August 17th. And I really feel that if we're going to be competitive educationally, schools have to be able to start when they feel is important for kids. And the charter schools can start earlier. And that kind of frustrates me, too. So I think it's an indication that politics doesn't always come up with the best solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I don't think the performance of our schools actually depends on when it starts or when it stops. But I will tell you that serious consideration is given to our tourism industry because it's the third largest revenue producer in our state. So it does have a fair amount of sway in how we dictate policy because a lot of people want to come to Michigan and spend their money here because of it's so beautiful, pure
right.
Michigan commercials notwithstanding, all of those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if we would have to start in a normal summer, we would start somewhere. If we had to start the 1st of August or middle of August, it would cost the taxpayers a lot of money because we'd have to go retrofit a lot of buildings for air conditioning.
Oh, that's true, too.
So we have, you can weigh that out. And maybe you say that's the right thing to do. You start earlier, but again, there's cost. And then is that addition or is that change going to make us is going to get more performance for our kids so that they're the best qualified when they come out of there to go to college? And I guess it's subject to a matter of opinion. I don't know. At this point, I don't see that factor being the point that gives us more performance. What really gives us some more performance is parents.
Helping.
Grandparents and everybody engaged because the teacher only has the kids 6-8 hours a day. Okay, the rest of the time they're influenced by their family, their church, their surroundings.
Right.
That's where the support is needed so our kids are really supported in a way that they're healthy, that they come to school in the mindset that they're ready to learn. They're fed, they're clothed, all of those things, and they are prepared to learn, and that support is better done at the family, in the home.
Good morning. You're on Talk of the Town.
Yeah, it's me again. You know, I really have to disagree with that. Missouri has been back in school since last week or before, and the particular person that I talked to said their schools don't have air conditioning. And to blame this on the parents, you know, when the Republicans have been very critical of education and teachers, I just think that's not fair. I think it's proven that kids lose a lot over the summer, and that's the problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would agree with you on that last point. There is some things that when you break up that learning stream, there is some things there. But again, that's best filled. But with the structure we have right now with parents and others, and I think that's the supportive part of our community that makes it work the best for our education. And that means if it's charter school, private school, public school, any of those types of things, the parental support and involvement is probably the biggest key. Because you can have the highest standards, you can have the best teachers, you can have the best curriculum, but if you don't have support at home, those kids are going to struggle.
All right, good deal. All right, thank you for stopping by and visiting us today. I know you have other places to go and other things to do. Appreciate your time, sir.
All right, again, reminder, watch for school buses tonight.
They'll
buy,
be out.
Buy local, go to those farm markets.
That's right. Thank you, sir. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.